And now the game where we invite notable people on to answer questions about unnoted things that's called Not My Job. As you know, we've been inviting all the presidential candidates onto the show to see how they can handle the really tough questions. This week we welcome to our crucible the latest candidate to get into the race, a TV personality from New York City. He's also the author of a new book, I Am America, and So Can You. Mr. Stephen Colbert, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you very much. It's an honor.
We're all going woot woot for you here in Chicago. So this week you announced that you are running for president. You threw your well-coiffed hair into the ring, I guess. You don't normally wear a hat.
I kept the hair on my head. I threw my hat into the ring.
You did? Okay.
Yeah.
That's where it went.
Yeah.
So what is the Stephen Colbert platform, basically?
Elect me? I mean, that's as far as we've gotten right now. My platform is please allow me to get on the ballot.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm told that this is no joke. You are really going to try to get on the
South Carolina, running as a favorite son.
Right, because you're from South Carolina.
Yes.
Right. And this, I was reading today, there was actually serious news articles all week about the Stephen Colbert run. It turns out that it can be done.
It can be done. You can actually run as a Republican and a Democrat at the same time in South Carolina. You can also marry a 13-year-old girl in South Carolina.
I mean, have you thought, I mean, given the disarray in certainly the Republican side, no favorite son has emerged, have you given any thought to the possibility you might actually win?
I will crush them.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you've given a lot of thought.
I will crush Giuliani beneath my iron heel.
Okay. And then how does the road then to the White House play out for Stephen Colbert?
It doesn't. It ends in South Carolina.
Oh, really? That's it?
Absolutely.
Tell me a little bit about, because we were talking about this today, about Stephen Colbert, the TV personality.
Yes.
Where did he come from? Was he just something you were doing at home for your own enjoyment, and then you said maybe America would like to hear from this person? Or
No, he came from The Daily Show, and I got a job on The Daily Show because I had written comedy, and I'd done sketch comedy, and I'd written for SNL for a little while, and then for some freakish reason, ABC News hired me as a correspondent for Good Morning America. And I thought that was a terrible idea, and I took the job.
Yeah.
Because I had a wife and baby and no job. And that didn't work out. I did one piece, and they didn't seem to like it. And at the same time, this thing called The Daily Show was starting. And I realized that I had been genetically engineered for The Daily Show.
Really?
Yeah. And so, and I own my own suit. And that was a very small budget.
Was that the requirement for the job?
It was. And so I worked there for years, and my character just developed in reaction to the people I had to talk to. Evidently, if you just show up with a camera and wear a Brooks Brothers suit and don't have some sort of crazy accent, people will assume you are from CNN.
Yeah.
I got sued once because the guy claimed that I claimed I was from CNN.
Really?
And I never did. I would never answer where I was from. I would just say, this is the order of the questions. So what channel are you on? I go, you know what? I don't know what channel it is in your market. We're on a lot of different cable systems. Like, you know, I'm on 43 where I am, but then on another thing, that's the Discovery Channel. Hey, you watch Shark Week? I love that channel. and then they would say, like, what network you're from, and I'd say, well, I'm from Comedy Central. And then they would take their mic off and walk away.
Really? Did that? Because I wondered about that, because, of course, the hallmark of The Daily Show for many, many years was you and the other correspondents doing these interviews and asking these extremely silly questions that led to the embarrassment of the person you were talking to. And I wondered, A...
What a kind description of my career. Thank you.
Well, I know. Hey, it's worked for you. Don't knock it.
It sure has.
And I wanted to know, first of all, how did you ever get away with this? And secondly, didn't eventually they cotton on that when they saw you coming, they knew what was about to happen?
I think the same reason I got away with it originally is the reason I got away with it even after they knew who I was, is that the camera lobotomizes what you pointed at. It just cuts out the part of the brain that has any judgment at all. And then people try to act like they're smart.
Right.
And they think about being a good thinker, and you cannot think about thinking any more than you can sort of think about swallowing while you swallow, because it'll choke on your tongue. And then people would, you know, swallow the tongue of their mind talking to me.
we wanted, of course, to talk to you about your famous or infamous White House Correspondents' Dinner speech back in the spring of 06. And this is a serious question. You're sitting there, you were sitting there with your friends and colleagues writing jokes like, here's the president. He not only stands for things, he stands on things like rubble and aircraft carriers. And you're writing these jokes. And did it ever say to you, I'm going to stand next to the President of the United States and insult him? And did that ever scare you?
No. I didn't actually think of doing there and insulting him, you know. But we do satire, and satire is a bit biting, shall we say?
Yes.
But the only time that I thought that maybe we were going a little bit too far was on the train ride down from New York to Washington. My wife was sitting in front of me reading a draft of the script, and every about 30 seconds, she would turn around and go, oh, no!
Yeah.
And I would say, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
We're
going to
do it.
And we knew we had a rare opportunity, and we didn't want to blow it.
No, and you did not. Are you ready to do this?
Come on, man.
Bring it. Here we go. Stephen Colbert, we are delighted to have you with us. We've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
You'd regret the error if you ever made one.
Since you, Stephen Colbert, are, of course, the most infallible source of information outside the Pope, and inside the Pope you can't get good TV reception, we thought what better to ask you about than mistakes in the media. We're going to ask you three questions about media mistakes taken from the book called Regret the Error by Craig Silverman. And if you get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice on their home answering machine. Carl, who is Stephen Colbert playing for?
Stephen is playing for Cynthia Sulaski of Portland, Oregon.
All right, you ready to play?
I am.
All right, here's your first question. Once upon a time, the major media was not known for the rigorous just-the-facts accuracy that is its hallmark today. True, no, really. In 1835, for example, the New York Sun offered what remarkable front-page scoop? A, that President Andrew Jackson had secretly negotiated our rejoining the United Kingdom as the province of America. B, that astronomers had observed enormous man-bats on the moon cavorting amongst palm trees. Or C, that Florida had been invaded by Caribbean cannibals who had already eaten half of St. Petersburg.
I'll go with man-bats.
You're going to go with the man-bats of the moon, as reported in the front page of the New York Sun.
Yes.
Not so confident now, Colbert. But you're right. Very good. Yes. Kazing! Kazing! Yes, the moon man bats, or as the New York Sun portentously told us, the species Vespertilio Homo. Next question. Very good. We move on to modern times. In 2003, the British Sunday Telegraph had to apologize for a story they ran that turned out not to be true, but it seemed to be just another believable example of British political correctness. Was it that A, schools across the UK had banned hot cross buns from Easter meals because they offended Muslims? B, a local council had decreed that Father Christmas would forever have to be called Mr. December. Or C, that the Anglican Church had rewritten the Lord's Prayer to start, quote, Our Father and or Mother, who art in heaven, etc.
Wow. Hot cross buns.
You're going to choose hot cross buns?
No.
No, you're not.
No. I just want to keep the ball in the air.
All right.
Hot cross buns, Mr. December.
It was hot cross buns.
Gosh!
Oh! No, the story, which even had quotes from spokespeople saying things like, quote, we're moving away from a religious theme for Easter, turned out to be entirely fabricated. No one knows how it got in the paper. All right, this is exciting. I love it when it's
because
exciting.
Now we have drama.
So here we are. Here is the last question. It's dramatic. If you get this right, you win. Here we go. In 2004, a story went out over the Reuters newswire warning everyone of a new vaguely frightening fad amongst our youth. It turned out not to be true, but it sounded true. Was the fad called A, depending, in which kids crazed on ecstasy and beer wear adult diapers so they would never have to stop dancing? B, toothing, in which hedonists broadcast come-ons on their Bluetooth-enabled cell phones and pagers so they can instantly hook up in a nearby bush or entryway? Or C, puffing, a variation on huffing, in which our youth tried to get high by opening up bags of Cheetos very quickly, sticking their head in, and inhaling the orangey dust.
actually works with Doritos.
It does.
Only Cool Ranch.
Okay, keep that in mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, the answer is toothing.
And you are right, sir. Very good. Very good. You said that with some confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You remember this happening? Yes, I remember reading about this. Everybody was very worried about this. The idea was that our youth, you know, hedonists would be walking around with their cell phones broadcasting a little message in secret code saying what they wanted to do, and you could receive that message and you'd send something back, and then the two of you would go off together. It turns out
it was like a handheld Craigslist.
Exactly right. Very much so. That broadcast to your immediate area. Carl, how did Stephen Colbert do in our quiz?
He did well enough, Peter. Stephen had two correct answers, so he wins for Cynthia Sulaski.
All right.
You know?
Congratulations, Cynthia.
Stephen Colbert is the host of The Colbert Report on Comedy Central. He is the author of the new book, I Am America, and So Can You. Stephen Colbert, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
What a pleasure.